Well, good morning, everyone. We're delighted that you're with us for this very first message of our new series, Out of Order. You know, whenever you think of the term out of order, what comes to mind? I think probably just a whole host of thoughts and mental pictures of times when we've encountered something that's been out of order. For example, maybe you have driven down the highway and you saw there is going to be in 40 miles a rest stop. And you finally arrive and you are ready to use the rest stop. And it says, out of order. Or you find the parking spot and, wow, it's too good to believe. And you finally get out of your car, you walk up there and you look at the meter and the meter says, out of order. I think we've all that work in offices, we've had the experience of coming to the copy machine. We've had a deadline before us only to find a sign on the copier that says, out of order. One secretary, sick and tired of trying to explain that, why it was down, she put the following note on the copy machine. It says, the copier is out of order. Yes, we have called the serviceman. Yes, he will be in today. No, we cannot fix it. No, we do not know how long it will take. No, we do not know what caused it. No, we do not know who broke it. Yes, we are keeping it. No, we do not know, we do not know what you are going to do now. Thank you very much. Amen. Out of order. It declares that something is not operating as it should be. It can also mean something is out of sequence. Something is out of proper order. A number of years ago, I visited the American Motors assembly plant in Kenosha. Some of you, back in the day, used to work for American Motors. It was amazing as I went down that line as they were building the automobiles there and attaching the bodies to the frames and so on. It was amazing to watch all the pieces of an automobile converge at the right time in the right place on that assembly line. As I watched it, I asked the guide, I said, you know, if things were to become mixed up, if the wrong part was at the wrong time, and the wrong accessories, wrong colors, all of that, what if it all got messed up? How long would it take to get this assembly line back up and running again? He said, oh, it would be massive chaos. He said it would take the better part of 2 weeks to get things going once again. When things are out of order, chaos abounds, and friends, this is especially true of our families. Now, for the next few weeks, we're going to look at God's divine order, and that God is a God of order, and He has divine order for all the key areas of life. So we're going to talk about God's divine order for the family, God's divine order for finances, for our faith, and for the nations even of the world. Even to the most casual observer this morning, one can clearly see that something is out of order. Chaos and confusion abounds. It abounds at home, in our streets, financial affairs, and as a nation as a whole. Now the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 33 that God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. Look at that one more time. God is not the author. He is not the one that scripts out a life of confusion, but rather of peace. If you read it from the NIV, it reads this way. God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. Now, friends, the good news this morning is the fact that God is the author of divine order and of peace. And He has a plan for your family. You see, God does nothing helter-skelter. God is a God of divine order, and all that He does has perfect order and sequence within it. If you go back to the book of Genesis, and as you begin to read about the creation of this earth and the universe that surrounds us, you'll find there's perfect logical order in the sequence of creation. Day one, there was light. On day two, God created the sky and the water. On day three, it was land, sea, and vegetation. On day four, the Bible says God created the sun, the moon, the stars to mark the seasons, the days, and the years. Day five, he created the fish of the sea and the birds of the air. On day six, he created the land animals and then his crowning work, man and woman. On day seven, God rested. Now I want you to try to imagine for a moment reversing the order of creation. When you look at that order, it is perfect order. You cannot change the order in order for there to be sustainable life here on this planet. So God created light, land, and then it was vegetation. You cannot have vegetation without light, and you cannot have it without having land for it to grow on. And so you see, there's a sequence in creation that is absolutely perfect. The basic building block of all things known in this universe, all these things have been made from what is called the atom. The atom is an amazing organized structure. It is divinely ordered by God Himself. Though the atom is so small that optical magnification is not possible, you cannot magnify an atom to the point that will ever be able to be seen by the natural eye through optics alone. You see, even though it is this small, God's handiwork is all over this little component called the atom. It's over the nucleus, the protons, the neutrons, and the electrons. His order is what keeps atom from colliding with atom and ultimately destroying this entire earth. It is God's order that keeps all things together. As soon as man began to mess around with the order of the atom, causing them to collide with one another, that atom that had such perfect order to it became one of the most destructive forces known to man, the atomic or neutron bomb. Simply said, whenever you mess with God's order, friends, I assure you, something is always going to blow up. And this is true of the family. You see, like an atom, the family is comprised of four key components. Let's look at our components this morning. First of all, you'll find that in every marriage, in every home, there is a component of Christ. The Bible says He is the head of all things. In any family, you'll find all of these components. You'll find there are children that God blesses a husband and wife with. You'll discover that there is the block here that's got the husband and the father, and you find the wife and the mother. Now, there's an order to all of this. Each one of these separate blocks representing individuals and a part of the family, there is a divine order to all of what God creates, not only in the universe, but also within the family. Now, I want you to buckle up and hold tight, because we're about to hit some hard truth this morning. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3, it says this, "But I want you to realize," Paul is writing to the church of Corinth, and the church of Corinth had been filled with chaos. It was a mess. And he writes to him, he says, "But I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of every woman is man. And the head of Christ is God." So God's order for the family is rather clear. The Bible says the head of every man is Christ. The head of the woman is man. And the head of Christ is God. Now, when we hear that word head, you need to understand what it's referring to. It's not referring to some dictatorship or someone that is always demanding. Rather, it means someone that leads. So the one that leads every man is Christ. It also means an umbrella of protection. So the one that protects, the one that leads, the covering for man is Christ. The leader, the covering, the protector of woman is man. And the head of Christ is God Himself. Now, some are quick to say, that's archaic. Pastor, that's antiquated. That was for a different culture and a different time. Come on, wake up. This is the 21st century, and we have become enlightened, liberated, and we will not listen to such foolishness. Nobody's going to subjugate me like that. Friends, submission has nothing to do with inequality. The husband and the wife are equal in attribute and in essence. If you were to go up to the cockpit of any aircraft, you'll find when you walk into an aircraft, you'll notice in the front there's a left seat, a right seat. And in times gone by, there was a third seat for the navigator. Now, navigation is done electronically. But you can always tell who the captain is. The captain of that aircraft, which will be the pilot in command, he will always be seated on the left seat. That is the captain's seat. Right seat will always be first officer, or what we would call the co-pilot. Now, the co-pilot is not inferior to the pilot. In order for that aircraft to be able to safely navigate through the sky, there must be order up in the cockpit. You cannot be fighting over the wheel. I remember when I was at North Central University, some friends moved to Minneapolis from India. And together, about six or seven of them, they chipped together, they all pitched in a little bit, bought a car. Now, they thought that as long as they all bought the same car, they should all be able to take and drive it at the same time. And it was the most amazing sight as I watched them come down Elliott Avenue there in Minneapolis. The car was lurching back and forth. The driver was trying to keep control of the wheel. Another one was over the back seat trying to control. It was chaos. Well, that is exactly what happened in the cockpit of an aircraft. In order for that airplane to fly, there is a pilot, there is a co-pilot, years gone by, navigator. You'll find that there are those that are on board that have responsibility as flight attendants for the safety and the well-being of the passengers back in the cabin. You'll find there are mechanics on the ground. You'll find there's a whole support team that surround that aircraft. And they must all yield in order for there to be a safe flight. They must all yield to the one that is called the pilot, the one that is pilot or in command. A home is not made up of individuals that are more important or less important. It is simply that God knows if there is not order within the family, if there are not roles and role expectations, that the home will become a frustrating place of chaos. Matter of fact, Jesus modeled all this out for us. He was absolutely co-equal to God the Father. Yet, he acknowledged his Father's lordship and headship over his life while ministering here on this earth. It was Jesus that said, "I've come down from heaven, not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me." Jesus on another occasion said, "My food, the thing that just really, you know, the thing that I strive for and long for, my food is to do the will of him who sent me." He said, "I do not seek to please myself, but him who sent me." Jesus taught us to pray, which we know to be the Lord's Prayer. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And so you see Jesus submitting to the lordship of God the Father all the way right down to the Garden of Gethsemane. In the Garden of Gethsemane, as he is knowing what is just a few moments away, the cross of Calvary, he says, "Father, if there's any way this cup can pass from me, if there's any other way that mankind can be redeemed, that man might once again have relationship with God the Father, other than by the way of the cross and my death there, Father, if there's any other way, let it be so. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Now, these words all come from Jesus as he relates himself to the Father. And he understands, even in the Godhead, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, there cannot be a tug of war. There are roles and responsibilities. And Jesus then, the Son, submitted to the Father. And he says, in a healthy world relationship, man submits to the Son, which is Jesus, and the wife submits to her husband, and the children obey their parents. Now, Paul expands on this. Let's take a look at it for a moment. In Ephesians chapter 21, or Ephesians 5 and verse 21, listen what it says. He says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. He said, if you really love Jesus Christ, then you will not fight everything through to the death. You will submit. Submit one to another and do so out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head. Now there's that word that makes us go, swallow one more time. But here's what it is saying. The husband is the leader, the umbrella, the covering, the protector of the wife. As Christ is the head, the leader, the umbrella, the covering, the protector of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as a church submits to Christ, so wives ought to submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one has ever hated their own body, but they fed and care for their body just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be united to his wife, and they shall become what? Say it. One flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. If you go back to the Ten Commandments, this is the first commandment in the scripture that says, if you will do this, here is the blessing you can expect. He says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. He said, it's going to make a difference in your everyday life, and it'll actually make a difference how long you live. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. Okay, so now we've got our pieces up here. Let's take and you tell me, out of all four of these, what must be the top? Okay, and who is going to be next? Husband, who's after the husband? The wife, and then comes the children. Does it mean that one has more value than the other? It is roles, so that the family might live in what God said, I am not the author of confusion. I am the author of peace. Therefore, he has role assignments. So let's take all of this and let's try and put it together, all right? Let's put it together. Remember playing with blocks when you were in kindergarten? I loved kindergarten. I spent 2 years there. I loved it so much. Okay, what comes next? Now, who's the head of all things?
Christ.
Christ. Aren't you glad he is? Aren't you glad he's our covering? So now, here is God's order. Now, in God's order, here's the thing that I've discovered. You cannot take any order that God places, whether it's for government, whether it's for church, whether it's for home. There is no messing with God's order without there being some predictable outcomes. So let's just take for a moment and let's say that we think God don't know what he's talking about. And let's just move some of these around in different areas and let's see what happens. Let's say husband says, I'm the papa. I'm the leader of this house. Jesus Christ, Pastor Tom, would you come and give me a hand here? We're going to be needing, all right. I'm going to slide over here so they can see it. Okay, so now we've got a husband that he has placed Christ where? At the bottom. Now remember, we're saying that you cannot take any of God's order. We had it in order. You cannot take any of God's order, mess around with it, and come up with anything less than chaos of one sort or another at home. So the husband, in this case, he is not submissive to Christ. Remember, the head of every man is Christ. Therefore, this man is saying, I want nothing to do with the headship of Christ. And you can slide this Christ anywhere you want inside of here, but as long as the one that was ordained by God, created by God, to be the initiator, to be the leader of the family, leader spiritually, to lead in, you know, all the different realms of life, as long as this guy is saying, Jesus, I want nothing to do with you, I'll tell you what is predictable. You are setting yourself up for rebellion. Because I'll tell you what happens. The kids are watching and they're saying, Dad isn't following Christ, and I'm not going to follow him. It's predictable. You want to set yourself up for misery at home and rebellion in the ranks? That's the best way to do it. You want to go around, be the macho man, and man, I'm the man of the house, snap your fingers and it's done. If you're not following Christ, you are setting yourself up for failure. God's plan, God's way. So when you take Jesus, get him down at the bottom or put him anywhere below husband. Husband is not. Now you've got a guy that's treating his wife not like Christ treats the church. And she is hurt. There's just a lot of frustration in the house. There's a lot of things going on. None of us, which is good. So anytime you put Jesus down here, the husband up here, you're going to be setting up yourself for what again? Rebellion. Dad ain't following Christ. Why should I follow him? He has no one that he is accountable to. I'm not sure I can trust him. I cannot trust his, you know, direction, his, you know, wanting the best for my life. I can't trust that at all. And so, rebellion. Well, let's take and do one more thing here. We'll leave children there for a moment. Lift the wife. Here we go. Okay. Now mama wears the pants. And let's say, you know, that mama really even loves Christ. Whoa. She still wants to be top. So now we've got a wife, mother, relationship with Christ, but she is rather uncomfortable with this position. You see, here's how God hardwired. The male is hardwired to be the leader. to be the leader of the pack. There is something on the inside that the male, remember, he was created first. He was put there in the garden. And the Bible says time and time again, Adam was formed when? First. Then the woman as a helpmate for this helpless guy. And so let's say this guy here is saying, just do it. You take care of the spiritual stuff for the kids. Now, I don't want to mess with that stuff. You take care of that. You want to get them to church, you get them to church. Are there going to be devotions around the house? Mom, you're the one that's going to have to take the lead on it. And everything that happens, this natural born leader, given and gifted by God, role given, it's like the pilot saying, I don't want to fly. Hello. So you have the guy that's putting the gas in the plane coming up there saying, I'll fly this thing. Now, they're all important, every last one. If you get out there, I don't care what kind of pilot you are. If you don't have fuel, you're in trouble. If any one of the components, all the roles need to be in place in order for that plane to get safely to its destination. And so here she is. He's kind of put her up there. You do what you do best. And he becomes very passive. And in this passivity, the kids begin to look, and they have a real hard time trying to equate. You know, if dad is really dad, if dad has got a role, if he's got a responsibility, why is mom the one that's leading everything? And here's what happens. This poor lady is very frustrated. And that frustration is going to come all the way down. The children's going to feel it. Everyone's going to feel it. You know what they say when mama ain't happy? How did you know? And so, once again, here's the thing. We messed up with the order, right? Let's do one more. Pastor Tom, let's get the kids on top this time. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. The monkeys are running the zoo. The clowns are running the circus. The kids are running the house. And it is predictable. It will be chaos. All order will be gone. It's out the window. They don't listen to mom. They don't listen to dad. They don't listen to Christ. They don't listen to anybody. They're just running the whole show, and it's a mess. You walk into such a house, and boy, it becomes very evident. Man, there's trouble here. Nobody's talking to anybody. Nobody respects anybody. It's a mess. So it's predictable. If the husband abdicates his responsibility of leadership in the family, it's going to cause rebellion. If she pushes herself or husband, because of passivity, says, honey, you do it, puts her up here, you're going to find another set of problems. And when you have the kids running the show, you've got another whole set of problems. They're all predictable. You cannot mess with this. So now let's get this thing back in right order. Help us to do that one more time. Now, does that mean that they are of little value? No, they have a different role. Children, obey your father and mother. And if you do so, you're going to have blessing and you're going to have longevity. Remember, when the husband does not take his role of leadership, there's rebellion. And the house is full of rebellion. And not only will they rebel against you one day, Dad, because they're seeing, they're watching. Dad is not submission to Christ. We can get him up here on the top where he belongs. The head of all things, head of the family. However, remember what we read back in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, or 11 rather, and we found that who is the head of Christ? Just happen to have one. This is really the fun part. I give this to Pastor Tom, and he puts it up there. Ah, he's making it! Woohoo! See, I hired him because he was tall. But he's got one of the best spirits I've met. Amen? We love Pastor Tom. Thank you. So here's God's order then. And you can't mess with it. It's not like those little things you just, you know, move everything around according to how you like it. Because when you get it so you may like it, it may all fall apart. First of all, God is the head of all things. Christ submitted himself to God. Father, not my will, but thine be done. He was equal with the Father. The Bible says he made himself of no reputation. He didn't strive for equality. He had equality. He yielded it over to the Father. The husband yields himself to Christ. And Christ said, you know, Dad, husband, you've got a big job to do. You got to lead a family through a crazy time in this world, and you're going to need all the help I can give you, and I will be your leader. I will be your protector. I will be your umbrella, and all those under it are going to be blessed. Wives, love your husbands. Submit to your husbands. Now, you say submit. You know, for most of us, submission isn't a huge deal unless we make it a huge deal. You know, the reality is, me and my wife probably agree upon at least some stuff. All right. Now, we agree on, I would say, 99.9%. But then there comes times when we do not. And because of the role that I've been given as the father, as the husband, when there's not agreement, my responsibility is to get instruction from my head. And then once I've made that decision, I have to own it. And she has the right to say, I told you so. Man, I hate that. So I have to own it. My role and my responsibility, my wife, is I'm to love her to death. Jesus loved us to death. All the way to the cross of Calvary for us. And the children, when they're in that kind of an environment, they see headship. They see headship. They see headship. They understand their role. And when you begin to put the pieces together in God's divine order, life makes sense. On April the 14th, of 1912, I want to get my numbers right. April 14th, 1912. There was a very notable event in history that took place. Anybody? Sinking of the Titanic. The Titanic coming the northern route on its way towards the United States struck an iceberg. What a horrible thing. In that moment, here's what they discovered. Go back and reread some of the letters that were written by the survivors. They said that the captain, Edward Smith, had been in the bar all night. And he was drunk. When he should have been at the helm of the ship, especially in that moment when they struck that iceberg, they should have and could have saved many other lives. But the cry all across the deck was, "Who's in charge? Who's in charge?" The first lifeboat was lowered down in the water. Only 26 persons were on board when it departed. It had room for 64. And that was played out time and time again. 1,517 souls were lost that day at sea. All across America today, I'm asked the question, who's in charge? Friends, God's got a plan for the family. He's got a plan for the nation. He's got a plan. He's got a system. He's got an order. And when you're living outside of God's order, just like when you take that atom and you've got the electrons moving about that nucleus at the rate of up to the speed of light, 186,000 miles per second. Yet it's all in perfect rotation. When man got in there and said, you know, we can change this around, it created a bomb of destruction. You can't mess with God's orders, what I'm trying to tell you. God is a God of order. He's got order for your life, order for your family. He loves you. He cares about you. And he wants to be your protector. He wants to be your umbrella. He wants to cover you and cover your family.